Blog Talk Radio.
That's my language.
Welcome to Ray. That's my
language.
Episode 4, y'all.
That's my language. That's my language.
Today, I'm going to give you the little, you know, little breakdown of where you can reach us at. Our number for you guys to call in today, we'll be taking some calls, is 718-664-9098. And you just push 1 and get involved, you know what I'm saying? 718-664-9098. If you want to hit us up at the email, it's Ray, R-A-E, you know, A-N-D-T-A-Y, today, at gmail.com, Ray and Tay today at gmail.com. Like us on Facebook, show us that love, you know, the social media deal. You know, go to Ray and Tay today at Facebook and like us. And tweet us, man. Hit us up with the tweet. You know, we don't really love Twitter, but, you know, we got to pop it off. You could hit us up with the Twitter at Ray and Tay today as well and, you know, and just get it popping.
We don't discriminate. Whatever social media you like, we like.
And you can podcast the show, T. You know, you can check us and listen to all of our back shows either at iTunes on podcast, Ray and Tay Today, or at blogtalk.com, blogtalkradio.com, / Ray and Tay Today.
All right. Sounds good. Let me give the listeners a little preview of what we're going to do today. So first we have some breaking news that we'll talk about. Let's talk about the two Monday night games. We'll discuss a little fantasy pickups in football because I know after week one, some of you guys are 1-0 and others are 0-1. You're going to look at some fantasy pickups.
Gotta make some moves.
Exactly, make some moves. Don't talk to Ray about that. But Tay will tell you to make like 100 moves. But anyway,
yeah,
we'll
yeah.
get to that.
Tom's
in a
little
sec.
Slow on that, but we won't even get into that.
We got a segment we like to call Where You At. So today's Where You At Wednesday. I think you guys will really like that segment. We reminisce about a former athlete. We'll get into the Major League Baseball standings really quick, and then we'll do a preview of Thursday night's game, Chicago at Green Bay.
Woo! The Bears.
There you go. So
yeah,
let's
man.
Start off with some breaking news. And
yeah, man. Hit us up, man. What's up with the sports world today? The news of the day.
News of the day is Notre Dame joining the ACC. Now,
the luck of the Irish.
Yeah, exactly. The luck of the Irish. Their TV contract on NBC is running out in a couple years.
Yeah, 2015.
Yeah, and so in 3 years, I guess. So what they did is once again pulled off a coup and joined the ACC in every sport but football, which is the sport that everybody wants, Notre Dame, because they have this national following, even though they haven't been good since 88. but they're able to get into the ACC for ACC basketball, and yet they're able to rotate in partially to the ACC for 5 games a year on a rotating basis for football. So every third year, an ACC team is going to play Notre Dame, and then 3 years later, it's a home and home. So they'll play at Notre Dame, and then Notre Dame will go to that ACC team. So ACC, I think it's a win for everybody. ACC wins because they get Notre Dame,
brilliant.
And Notre Dame wins because they get to keep their independent allegiance. They still have that leg up in the whole BCS system where if they're – you know, rated, I think it's the top 8, they get
it. Yeah, but listen, I go boo, because it's a diss to the Big East, man. The Big East is falling apart. Pitt and Syracuse have left. West Virginia's left. It's disgusting and sad. Everybody's selling out. The Big East now, you know, with UConn, Georgetown, Cincinnati, and St. John's, but now they got Houston. what, MSU, I guess Boise State didn't stay. They got San Diego State. Come on, it's the Big East. How you got San Diego State in the Big East?
Well, that's
sad, man.
That's my thing. How are we going to call this higher education? How are we going to teach our kids geography when we're telling them that the Big East includes Houston and includes San Diego? How
well,
is
listen,
that East? In what
you don't
want to
teach them geography through sports when they get to college. If they don't know it by then, it's too late. But
I guess,
it's still institutions
of higher learning, and they're calling themselves the Big East when San Diego State is in the Big East.
Yeah. Well, anyway, kudos to Notre Dame. We'll look for the great matchups. Obviously, in college basketball, it helps Notre Dame. They play against Duke and C State and North Carolina, UVA, my Terps, yo Terps, you know, Florida State. In football, it's big because North Carolina, Florida State, Miami, you know, and Virginia Tech, those are big games against Notre Dame. So, and then also Pitt and Syracuse.
And they get to keep the Big East games, right, exactly. Big East games, Pitt and Syracuse.
So, and, you know, Notre Dame will still stay with USC and Stanford and Navy and maybe Michigan and Michigan State every other year. They'll work it out. Notre Dame is smart, and things will be good for them. But let's quickly jump into, before we get involved with the fantasy football stuff and the moves, and, you know, your waiver wire should be going in today or tonight because, you know, we got the Thursday night game, which we'll talk about later. But Monday night, the Baltimore Ravens started off the doubleheader and the end of the week one, and the Baltimore Ravens, wow. Everybody saw it or heard about it or read about it. The Ravens looked good. Flacco was a stud. Ray Rice got busy. The defense without Suggs stepped up and stopped Cincinnati. There was a while there where Cincinnati, you thought maybe they could hang into the game, but Baltimore just put the onslaught on them. I mean, Bolden got a touchdown. Pitta, Ray Rice got two rushing touchdowns. Flacco looked good, and that contract, ching, 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 ching. I'd love to be Flacco's agent because he's about to get the coin, baby. Give me the coin.
Thankfully, they took care of Ray Rice, so they still have the franchise tag to put on him if they have to. But, yeah, they have to pay him. He may not be a top-five quarterback, but they certainly have to pay him like a top-five quarterback because their whole team is getting old, and especially on defense, and they got to anchor that team around him. And
he deserves it. If he plays like that, he's got a cannon of an arm. The kid's good, man. It's just confidence.
Well, that was
with
never
him.
In doubt. Yeah, sure. I tell you what, though, for Cincinnati's, you know, and I predicted Baltimore to win big. So finally, after a terrible Sunday, I did all right on Monday. But
yeah, we both did.
44-13 really isn't indicative of Cincinnati. Didn't feel like they lost by 30. So Cincinnati's a good team. I don't know that they're not better than Baltimore, but they're certainly not 30 points better. They're not in the same, you know, they're not blown out of the stadium. So I think that Baltimore looks great. Nothing bad to say about Baltimore. I think Cincinnati is they'll be okay. They'll be competitive. I don't know if they're.
I just don't think they can get over the hump, honestly, of Pittsburgh and Baltimore. Cincinnati, unfortunately, is in the wrong division, and in the AFC North, they're going to be in third place for, you know, maybe this year and maybe another year to come. They're just not ready yet.
They got to wait for Father Time to catch up to, especially on defense, to the Steelers and the Ravens defensively. So let's move on to the next game, the night game. Berman did the game for us. Berman
it was
and Dilfer.
With,
how'd you like
our
that
boy
team?
Dilfer.
How'd you like that team?
I thought it was good, you know. I mean, years before they've done it with Mike and Mike, which was fun and interesting as well. But, you know, we both love Berman. We're ESPN guys, you know. We were there from the beginning. So, I think Berman and Dilfer is just great. He's, you know, Super Bowl winning quarterback but, you know, had an average career, but he's become a great analyst. So I think they did a good job together. And the Chargers, you know, did you see that great catch by Malcolm Floyd? Yo, Floyd, Gates, I got nervous because Gates got hurt for a second, but then he came back with the ribs, but he came back and played. Ronnie Brown did a little something. You know, they had this, Chris Brinkley, the other kid, the running back. The Chargers look good. Their defense actually looked better than I thought. The Raiders, they need some wide receivers. Maybe the Raiders should get T.O. because Carson Palmer and Terrell Owens were working out together this summer.
Well, they were down a couple receivers, and the camera kept panning over to Denarius Moore. And, you know, when your leading receiver is Darren McFadden with 13 catches, that means you have nothing on the outside. And, you know, with all due respect to Darren McFadden, who's a heck of a player, but They need some help. They need some help for Carson, and they don't have a tight end. And you know, a tight end is a quarterback's best friend, especially when all things go awry. You look for your tight end to matriculate the ball up the field.
Well, hey, the fantasy owners were definitely happy, you know. And we're gonna, you know, start to, you know, hey, it were good games. Chargers did their thing. Ravens did their thing. And as we get ready for week two, we're gonna start talking about the fantasy moves. And looks like we have a caller, right?
Yeah, we got a caller. Hold on. Let's pass the caller in.
Talk about some fantasy moves. I know
Hello,
who I'm picking
caller.
Up.
You're on the air.
Hello? Welcome to Ray and Tay Today. Caller?
All right. We might have some technical difficulties with the caller, so we'll keep talking. So fantasy, there's a lot of people that overreact after week one. So you're the type of cat that will go out and make 20 fantasy moves, and I'm the type of guy that says, you know what, my roster isn't bad. So I'll let you tell us a little bit about what you think is going to happen on this fantasy week pickup. My one observation is that there's a lot of wide receivers out there. So if you're light on wide receivers, then this is not a bad time to go pick up a wide receiver. The other positions, the way I see it, there's about 8 to 10 wide receivers out there that can be had, and the other positions are real thin. So running back, tight end, and defense might be some other places where you might look, but there's maybe one or two guys in each of those positions. So
well,
Ewan, tell us
like
about
this.
The wide receivers.
Well, the thing is like this. Hey, there were some injuries, you know. So if you had Fred Jackson and you don't have Spiller, you know, Fred Jackson might be out 3-4 weeks. Who knows? Doesn't look like he might have a great year. So maybe you want to get the running back, Alfred Morris, from, you know, the Redskins, who looks like he's going to be their lead back. Or, you know, maybe you look at picking up, if you didn't pick up, like someone like a Benson or whoever else could be out there, maybe an Ingram from the Saints. But for wide receivers, you know, there's no doubt that there are some guys that might be better than the guys you have on the bench. So let's say if you have a Braylon Edwards on your bench and you're like, ooh, or Nate Burleson, you know, I'm like, drop him and pick up Andrew Hawkins, who got a lot of touches and got more receptions than AJ Green and is a clear number two receiver now in Cincinnati and looks like a stud, or this kid, Aldrick Robinson. Now, you might want to wait a week or two and, like, Tobel, wait a week or two, right, Ray? You'll wait a bit. But
I'll
the problem
wait.
Is with Ray, he waits, and then guess what? I already come in and scoop up Aldrick Robinson, and if he's a stud, he's on my team, like I did with Stevie Johnson a couple of years ago. So the main thing is, like, look, there's an injury. David Nelson is out for the season. So maybe you go get Donald Jones, the wide receiver from Buffalo, because he's going to be the number two receiver in Buffalo, and they'll be losing a lot. So Fitzpatrick's going to have to pass a lot, and Donald Jones is going to get some stats. Me,
true.
I like Alshon Jeffrey from the Bears. He looked like a stud. I predicted it. I already have him on a couple of my teams. But for those who didn't pick him up in leagues he's available, go scoop him up. You know what I mean? Certain guys like that. But let's see. Is this caller here? Caller, you on the air?
Let's try again. See if we can rope the caller in. Welcome to Ray and Tay. Caller, you on the air? Caller? All right. We're having some technical difficulties again.
All right. Well, I guess they're not there. So, but,
right.
You know, that's the thing that you got to really, you know, think about is, like, for example, there's some leagues that Ogletree is out there. So if you're first on a waiver wire, great. But if you're in a league like I'm in one of my CBS leagues, with a shout-out to my man, True Players, or Pimp It Ain't Easy, Jay Robinson, you know, you have to bid in an auction. Some teams, some leagues have auctions. So it's like, hey, if you got $800 or $100, how much do you want to bid for Kevin Ogletree, who will be probably a solid number three like Lauren Robinson last year for the Cowboys? Plus, you don't know if Miles Austin and Dennis Bryant are going to stay healthy.
Well, he's kind of blue too, because he keeps hurting those hamstrings. Not only that, but Dez Bryant doesn't have a track record of staying healthy, and who knows what you're going to get from Witten for the first 3-4 weeks with that spleen injury. So a number three receiver sometimes is something to be worried about, but on Dallas, you got to figure Kevin Ogletree looks really good because he's a three, but he could be a two given all the injuries. And Lauren Robinson, in his position last year, put up huge numbers in the second half. So I think Kevin Ogletree's big. Everybody's going to flock to him. He's probably the number one receiver off the board. Then you got to think to yourself, one of the Green Bay receivers, Cobb or Jones, even though they'll be fighting each other for catches.
Right.
And what do you think about the two Jet receivers, Hill and Curley?
Well, a lot of people are making moves for Curley and Hill. Me personally, I would take the rookie just because I think with that speed, he can get a lot on slants or deep post or just straight up, stop and goes or bombs, you know. And so I think to stretch the field and everything, to me, I would take a chance on Stephen Hill. It's not like Curley is some, like, wise veteran. He's, you know, his second year or whatever, but I would take a chance on Stephen Hill. I also like, and some people might, you know, he might still be out there. He didn't do anything week one, but John Baldwin. But right now it seems like the Chiefs and their receivers, there's a bunch of guys. You know, you got
Dexter
McCluster.
Sure.
Breston.
And if you need
a deep sleeper.
But also,
you know who's a sleeper? I think, you know, you
Cecil
got Justin
Short.
Blackman and Lauren Robinson, and you have Mike Thomas. But it looks like Cecil Shorts.
Sure.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Not pants. Cecil Shorts looks like he's going to be a decent player with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there's moves out there. But you know what? I want to break down real quickly defense. Me, I like to play the matchups in fantasy football. The Oakland Raiders go to Miami this week. They are going to smack Tannehill up. They look great against the Chargers. That pass rush, the Oakland defense looks tough. They're pretty tough every year. So to me, I always look at who is the defense playing. So if you could drop a backup wide receiver or second tight end and you're not worried about somebody scooping them up, or if you only have one defense and, you know, you're not too in love with their matchup this week, go pick up the Raiders. You know, they're playing against Miami and a bad quarterback. Or how about that Redskin defense, T, that looks so great against the Saints? They're going up against the St. Louis Rams, who don't look that explosive, you know?
That's true. I tell you what, if you're into rotating defenses, you've got three or four teams out there that you're licking your chops if they come up. So anybody that plays Cleveland,
yeah.
Anybody that potentially plays Carolina until they get their act together.
No,
anybody
that's an explosive
that plays
offense. I wouldn't put them in that category. To me, it's Miami.
Cleveland and Miami,
and maybe Jacksonville.
In your chops.
Yeah. Any young quarterback that doesn't seem to have it together without an explosive offense, you got to worry about AP. But Minnesota, you're not afraid of the offense. Jacksonville, Miami, and Cleveland. Those four teams. And you can maybe throw in St. Louis. I mean, he's got Amendola. He's got Brian Quick, who's a fantasy move pickup, Brian Quick. And also
that's horrible. Just right there, that's horrible.
But wait, Brandon Gibson. Gibson.
I had him
is,
last year, and he caused me
right,
angst.
But this year he looks like he might be able to do something. We'll see. I just can't believe with all these bum receivers and on these teams, how come, you know, I could understand Chad Johnson. He might get suspended. Somebody should still give him a chance. But give T.O. a job, ladies and gentlemen. What's the NFL GM
age,
to be slapped
age,
in the
age.
Face?
They like young. They age discriminate.
I know,
NFL.
But my man is just legit.
If you're over 27, 28.
T.O. is a top 10 receiver of all time, man.
He's also a top 3 headache of all time. So, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, they don't want to take
case
the pass.
Or both.
Well, wait a minute.
T.O., we got a caller?
We got a caller, yeah. Let's rope in the caller here. Caller, you're on the air. Welcome to Ray and Tay.
Hi, thank you thank you for having me. I have a fantasy question.
Sure, shoot.
I have Miles Austin and Lance Moore on my team. Both had great performances last week, and I wanted to know who you think I should start for my next matchup.
Well, I gotta say this. The Saints are playing the Panthers, so I'm not too concerned about their secondary. So Lance Moore had a big week, although it didn't happen to the fourth quarter last week. But you got to believe Drew Brees is hungry and they're going to go pass happy and take advantage of them. And Miles Austin, we don't even know if he's truly healthy, and they're going up against a good Seattle defense but a good Seattle secondary. So my vote is for Lance Moore. If you have to pick one of the two, Ray, what do you think you would do for this young gentleman here. Wait, Carla, where are you calling from anyway? Where are you calling from, man?
I'm calling from Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, okay.
Oh, in the heat, the desert heat.
All
right, well, my thinking is in the middle of the season, I think that the Dallas receiver, Miles Austin is better. Is a better choice. I think he's probably going to be more integral to Dallas's offense. I think Breeze spreads the ball around, and Lance Moore is one of many receivers and one of many weapons, and he seems to love Jimmy Graham. And when Marcus Colston is healthy, he's definitely at best the third receiver on that team. So I think middle of the season, Miles Austin is the play, but I agree with Tay. Right now, the play to me is Lance Moore, even though he took three quarters off. And then in the fourth quarter, he finally delivered the goods. So I think we're both saying Lance Moore until Miles Austin proves that he's healthy.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling, man. Keep calling us back. What's your name, caller?
Elijah.
All right. Well, keep calling us, Elijah, man. Thanks for listening to our show.
Appreciate the love.
You're welcome. Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. So, well, that's good, man. We got, young kids, hopefully some women listening, old folks, anybody, any grandmas out there, NFL grandmas that like football, everybody call in, man. But before we leave the fantasy segment, T, and jump into some other things, I got to just say real quick, to me, I don't think you should pick up Mark Sanchez. If anybody's looking for picking up a quarterback, it was a one-week wonder maybe. And this week he's going to Pittsburgh, and we got Ryan Clark back, and we're going to be angry. Our defense is going to be angry.
Yeah, as much as I hate to agree with you, I'm not touching Sanchez, period, and certainly not the week before he goes into Pittsburgh. So, yeah, 100% agree. Don't touch Sanchez. You shouldn't be needing a backup in week two. But if you do, then there's other people on the board other than Sanchez. But, yeah, leave Sanchez alone. Go get yourself a receiver, running back, somebody else, and wait
yeah,
till those
maybe
buys
Pitta
come
at
up.
Tight end for the Ravens. Pitta. Pitta
yeah,
looks good.
Pitta's nice.
You know? So, listen, man, let's take a quick little break, and then we're going to come back with our segment, Where You At, and reflect on an old player. T?
All right.
Yeah, man. So,
Tommy,
where you at?
I love that. So let's break it down. We got a segment here that we're calling Where You At? And today's Wednesday, so we're calling it Where You At Wednesday. And this is a segment where we reminisce about a former athlete. It could be professional. It could be college. We look at what that athlete did during his or her sports career, impact on the position or on the sport. And then we take a little look back down memory lane and take it to the present and see what that person is doing in his life, his or her life after sports. And we got somebody for you this week. And before I tell you who it is, feel free to email us, to Twitter, to Facebook us, to get in touch with us if you've got a candidate for where you at.
For next week, definitely.
For next week or the week after. If there's somebody that you think, what's that person doing? So
we like obscure people. For example, we like, Steve Stepanovich or Uwe Blob or, just random cats. It doesn't always have to be somebody that was a Hall of Famer or a superstar. It could be one of our favorite guys. Me and Ray just go back and forth all the time with, Fennis Dembo, who played at Wyoming, or, anybody. But we'll take your suggestions.
Ryan Bosworth.
Yeah,
somebody
Bosworth,
that made
yeah.
an impact in movies. Somebody that was a flash in the pan. Trev Albert. We could get, we could talk about people that were somehow memorable, either because of good, because of bad, because of media, because of hype. Who knows? But let's take a look down memory lane and take a look at the Tyler Rose, Earl Campbell. We're in the middle of football season, or we just kicked off football season. And like we keep saying, this is a passing league. But let's go back to when it was a running league.
Oh, the late 70s, T. I still can reminisce. Can I tell you? And we, you know, for those that don't know, he played at Texas. So he's a good old Texas boy, and he was a wildebeest. 1978 was his rookie year, Earl Campbell, with the Houston Oilers. Houston Oilers are number one.
Love you blue, love you blue.
Yeah, which for, listen, and we could teach some of the people, like the young caller that just called from Arizona, Elijah, he might not even know, but Earl Campbell for the Houston Oilers, which is now the Tennessee Titans, you know, and they switched over there with Steve McNair and Eddie George, but the Houston Oilers were a great team for a bunch of years, especially early 80s, late 70s, and Earl Campbell was the main reason of that. You know, he went from the Heisman, right, T, and then his rookie year comes in and gets 1,450 yards rushing, 4.8 a carry, and 13 touchdowns. Wow, Earl Campbell was truly a beast.
He was a beast, 5'11", 245. He just ran people over. And in a day and age where you got big guys that like to dance, so you got like Brandon Jacobs, and you've got even guys back in the day like Christian Okoye, just big, big, huge running backs, but had happy feet and liked to dance, this guy would run you over. If you know, you need to go to YouTube or check out the segment of Earl Campbell just laying the wood on the defenders. I mean, this dude, for his first 4 or 5 years, was averaging 1,500 yards and 13, 14, 15 touchdowns. I mean, he was just a beast. The only person that comes close to him is Adrian Peterson in terms of running people over. Adrian probably has more lateral speed, and he probably has more moves than Earl Campbell.
I think Adrian's more
Campbell,
explosive with the speed, but Earl was like, he just, do you remember when they would pull on his jersey and he'd be pushing? You talk about a stiff arm, ladies and gentlemen. Earl Campbell would push you and knock you through the hash marks. I mean, he was a beast, and I got to tell you, as a Steeler fan, we feared the Houston Oilers and Earl Campbell and Dan Pastorini and Billy White Shoes Johnson and, you know, the different players that played there over the years. But Earl Campbell was the man. And, you know, his best year, he almost put up 2,000 yards in 1980, and that was the year when the Raiders and Eagles won the
Super
Bowl.
Yeah.
He had 1,934 yards. That's crazy. 15 games, that's crazy.
And the thing is, Earl Campbell could have been – could have had even a longer career, but in this day and age with the two backs, they ran Earl Campbell 300 times.
Yeah,
they ran him through. So his, I'll read you his attempts. His first 4 years, 300 attempts as a rookie, 368 in his second year, 373 in his third year, 361. So Bum Phillips, and, you know, that's what everybody did. So Bum Phillips wasn't doing anything that the rest of the coaches did, so let's not get on him. But he ran.
Yeah, no, if you had a number one back, that's how football was late 70s, early 80s. It wasn't a pass-happy league, even with good, talented quarterbacks. It was more 60-40 running game, you know, at best 50-50 for some teams, you know. So, I mean, listen, that Earl Campbell is a Hall of Famer. It's well deserved. And just imagine
he's
if he had
college
like,
Hall of Famer and a Pro Hall of Famer. Won the Heisman Trophy. He's the man. If you're under 30 and you don't remember Earl Campbell, go back into the archives.
Oh yeah, and you could, you know, check out the old jerseys. Oh man, Earl Campbell number 34. Man, he was a problem. And I would have to say, without a doubt, he is top 10 running backs of all time. On my list, he'd probably be 6 or 7. You know, he's right there in that mix of, like, him, you know, Marshall, LaDainian, OJ. Like, he's definitely top 10. He's between 6 and 8. Earl Campbell is a beast, you know. I mean, obviously, for a lot of folks, it's Jim Brown and, you know, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, you know, Walter Payton, you know, your top four. You could put them whatever order you want, you know, but Earl Campbell, he was an amazing back. So, T, why don't you tell people sort of a little bit about where you at, where Earl is at now, what he's been doing since football, man.
Yeah, so it looks like Earl, from taking all that abuse, has physically been having some issues with, you know, like all these ex-NFL players with, you know, with their legs and their arms and their shoulders. But it seems
those
like
knees.
Earl is hanging. Yeah, Earl is still the man down in Austin, Texas, where, you know, University of Texas, shout out to the Longhorns. And he looks like he's a businessman down there. And, you know, keeping the tradition of football players staying down home in Texas, I bet he's a god down there in Texas. I mean, he's a god everywhere if you follow running backs and you follow football in the 70s and 80s. But, yeah, it looks like Earl stayed in Texas, is a businessman down in Texas. But, you know, he gave us just a plethora of memories. I mean, I can remember.
Oh, yeah. I love the afro and the jacked up teeth, man.
Come on now.
I mean, I say it with love, though. I really do, you know. I really do.
Well, they made an Earl Campbell statue, so at least the man got himself a statue.
Oh, he deserves it, you know. Earl was the beast. Yeah. So what else is he up to now?
No, I think he stays local. I don't see him much in the public spotlight. So I think if you're down in Texas, you probably see or hear from Earl Campbell, but I don't know that he's very much on the national scene. So he's one
of
these
like
guys.
Did he have
like
a restaurant or something?
Does he
do car washes like Oakley?
No,
you know.
Our boy Oakley does have some car wash. That's a good business. It's a cash business.
Oh.
You know, nothing wrong with cash.
Make that money. I am at it, Oakley.
Nothing wrong with cash. No, it says, you know, we're doing a little research on him, that he lives in Austin, Texas, and he does some business down there. So he's got his own company and sells meat, apparently, and other food products down. You know, they like their barbecue in Texas. I'm not mad.
Hey, that's the way to rock it, man. But, I mean, really, you just urge the younger listeners and people out there in the NFL. Imagine they had fantasy football back then. With Earl Campbell and those stats. Oh,
wow.
Man, like 1,900 yards, 19 touchdowns or 16 touchdowns another year, 1,600 yards. That's the type of stuff you're like, yeah, I'm drafting Earl Campbell number one. Or, you know, he'd definitely be a first-round fantasy football pick in this day and age.
Sure. And you'd want to watch him every game. You know, he was just a beast
out
there running.
A pleasure, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, probably paid the price by carrying the ball too many times and having a short career, only a 9-year career, but it was a treat to watch him.
Yeah. No, and you know, and I think other backs that came along, and you know, like the Emmett Smiths and other guys in the later 80s and early 90s, you know, cats, they all talk about, even Marshall, cats talk about Earl Campbell and paying homage to him. He gets, amongst running backs and NFL legends and greats, Earl Campbell gets his respect and proper due and love. I mean, he is, you know, just an amazing back and just, you know, a stud, man, a real stud, you know. So, it, you know, that's a good way to start off where you at and where you at segment. And like Tal said, you know, hit us up, you know, whether you tweet us or Facebook or, you know, Ray and Tate Today at, you know, gmail.com, the email. Who you would like us to research, break down, you know, and as the show grows older and we build it up and gets bigger and stronger, you know, we're going to try to, you know, see if we can contact some of these guys and, you know, possibly be able to get somebody in the show. And it's not just football, you know, obviously it's football season, so we're focused on it, but, you know, baseball playoffs are coming on, so we can talk about old baseball players, the NBA starting at the, you know, training camp starting at the end of the month and stuff like that. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. Oh, by the way, Josh Childress, the Nets, you know, they wound up signing him to a non-guaranteed contract. So, who played out here by me in Arizona last year with the Phoenix Suns and used to rock with the Atlanta Hawks.
What a mistake he made, though, going to Greece. He ruined his career.
Yeah. He got some experience and stuff and some dough. But, yeah, no, you got to stay in the NBA. You go to Europe if you don't make the NBA, or you go to Europe after your career is over. You
and
don't
then
go
you
to
go
Europe
eat
in the
some
middle.
Souvlaki's and get your Greek food on, because he was in the right in the middle of his career, and he went for the money. He went to Greece, and now he's.
Well, maybe he does well at Brooklyn. You know, maybe coming off the bench, backing up Gerald Wallace. You know, maybe he has another opportunity and could come in and be an athletic, you know, 2-3 for them. We'll see. But anyway, listen, man, so where you at, you know, hit us up. You know, we'll probably be bringing it to you again next Wednesday. You know, I like where you at Wednesdays, but it might not be every Wednesday, but it's definitely where you at. So next, we're about to take a little break, and we're going to get into the baseball. Looks like the Yankees are tied again. So listen, we're going to get into some Major League Baseball, break down the standings, and where teams are at with that. All right, so we'll be right back.
Okay, you ready? Say cheese. Okay, who's racing?
Yeah, but it's nice out here, right?
W-I-L-L-I-M, he's the truth, baby, so here I am. W-I-L-L-I-M, he's the truth, baby, so here I am.
So T man, you know, a little remix for He's the Truth. A little shout out to
William
P. Taylor, but let me ask you, who is the truth right now in the pennant race and what's going down? We got Detroit against the Cubs playing each other, Rays. I mean, you know, give us a little shot of the standings and what's the latest with baseball, man.
Well, it looks like the class of the American League is the Texas Rangers. They're running away with it, but right on their heels are the Oakland. I tell you what, the Oakland Athletics.
They won again last night.
They won 6-5. They keep
against the Angels, right?
Yeah, they keep making it life difficult for the Angels, and they're breathing down the backs of Texas. I don't know if they'll catch Texas. They're 3 back of Texas right now, and both teams have, it looks like, about 20 games to go. So that's tough to catch. And 21, what is it? Yeah, both teams have 21 games to go. So they got 3 games. They're 3 games back, 3 in the loss column. So I don't know if they'll catch Texas, but they're certainly playing themselves right into that one-game wild card playoff. And it looks like if the season were to end right now, that would be against the Yankees or the Orioles. And you got Tampa Bay in the mix, and you've got Detroit in the mix, and possibly the Angels if they can get hot. But right now, the loser of Baltimore and the Yankees would play a one-game playoff in Oakland. So Yankees lost last night. Baltimore beat the Rays last night. So it looks like that East is going to come down to really head-to-head, and the fact is that the Yankees actually have the easiest schedule of all of
remaining.
Those teams. Yeah,
well,
remaining.
You know, you really want, the Yankees
games.
Want the Orioles, right, and the Rays to beat each other up.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think if I'm a Yankee fan, which I am, I'm scared of the Rays. So I almost
want the
Rays out. If Baltimore, because the Rays ultimately have the best pitching staff, and pitching always beats the Yankees. So
yeah.
The Yankees have an issue with pitching, and they have an issue with clutch hitting. They just can't get a clutch hit. They had 7 walks, and they couldn't get Beckett. They couldn't knock, Lester out. They had 7 walks. They had them on the ropes, and they had the bases loaded, and Curtis Granderson popped out. And they had 2 men on a couple innings later. And so they kept putting base runners on, but they couldn't get any clutch hits. So Baltimore's the hottest team, but you know what? Ultimately, I'm scared of pitching. I'm scared of the Rays. So to me, I want Baltimore to put some distance between them and the Rays, and then I'll have the Yankees fight with Baltimore and Oakland for that, either to win the AL East or to win that wild card.
Yeah, and we gotta, obviously it looks like the rest of the Tigers are only 2 behind the White Sox, but chances are the loser of that division, the AL Central, will probably be out of the playoffs. And
yeah,
second wild card, like you were saying,
with 21.
Yeah,
games
well, right now that first wild card looks like it's locked with the A's because, like you said, it's Texas with 84 wins, the A's with 81. And the Angels are right there with 77. So the Yankees only have 79. So this is the type of thing where last year, it's probably going to come down to the last week. These teams are so close.
You know, as many things as baseball has done wrong, everything that they've done with the playoffs, I think has been right.
Oh, it's gotten
so
better.
Expanding to the wild card, expanding to the second wild card, I think is great.
It's
even
perfect.
Put instant replay in baseball. So baseball.
Not
is,
enough,
is,
though. They don't have it enough. They're still messing up no hitters. And the other night when our boy slid into first, it looked like he was kind of safe to, you know, prevent the double play
safe.
In the Yankees.
He was 100% safe.
Yeah, so, I mean, they need it at first base. And I think, you know, for those calls, and I think whether you do a challenge system or something, because you can't just say every time a close play comes, we're going to review it. But if the baseball guy comes out, the manager is like, hey, I want to challenge that call, just go to instant replay. It takes, you know, 30 seconds to get it right.
Not only that, but it's really doing yourself a disservice when everybody at home has a big screen HDTV and they've got multiple angles to review the play.
55 inches, baby.
And they're even showing a replay in the stadium. And fans in the stadium have their Wi-Fi enabled, you know, cellular devices and getting instant replays.
They
so
got their iPhones.
Everybody
sees the truth. Everyone
exactly.
sees the truth, and we just want the truth in sports. And that's what replay's for. We respect that these umpires and referees are human, and they do a great job. They're right more than they're wrong. But you can't have them be wrong and end the game and ruin the game.
And, you know, I think deep down they want it too because
refs,
the umps want to get it right. You know, they're not trying to get it wrong. So if the guy on first base in that Orioles-Yankee game when Teixeira blows out his calf again and dives and is clearly safe, he doesn't want to make the wrong call. So he would welcome instant replay.
He don't want to be embarrassed in front of his mama. He don't want that.
But I don't know what you do with balls and strikes, but certainly on the bases and certainly on the foul lines, you need instant replay. It's about time. It's been about time.
So let's pop over to the NL. And the one thing that I got to tell you before we just get involved in the NL that's kind of interesting, it seems like the Phillies are slowly trying to creep back in at 72 wins to the second and last wild card because they're only 3 games behind the St. Louis Cardinals now and tied with the Pirates. Can you imagine that? With the horrible season the Phillies had? I think, what have they won, like 6 in a row or 6 out of 8 or something? So the Phillies are trying to make a move, and they're pitching. They cannot
win.
Yeah,
they've won 6 in a row, 8 of the last 10.
So they're still alive to get that second wild card, which is crazy after this
season. They're on life support, and they did it to themselves. You know, Utley and Howard were hurt in the beginning of the year, and Halladay got hurt, but ultimately they did it to themselves. That team is way too talented to under-deliver the way they did.
You know, Cliff Lee disappeared. Like, something happened to the dude. Like, they kidnapped his arm or something. It was crazy. But
the problem with Philly is that they're 3.5 games back right now of St. Louis, right? Atlanta's going to get that first seed, right? They've got a 5-game lead over St. Louis and a 6-game lead over the Dodgers. So Atlanta's
right.
pretty much
so
a sure
they have 81 wins. So Atlanta's got that, unless they totally collapse like last year.
The problem is for Philly, who's only quote-unquote, 3.5 games back with – it looks like Philly's played – they've got 19 games left, but the problem is they got to jump 3 teams. You know, they got to jump Pittsburgh, the Dodgers, and St. Louis. So that's hard to do to make up 3.5 games in 19 games and jumping over 3. And I don't think they have the head-to-head matchups against any of them. So they don't have their fate in their hands. So Philly is going to have a hard time. I mean, I bet statistically they're less than a 2-3% chance to make the playoffs. I mean, this might be good momentum for next year, but
listen, if the Pirates collapse and get swept, or the Cardinals go on a bad streak, I mean, it's just about you just got to go out each game and try to get those W's. You know, I mean, the Diamondbacks look like they're done. You know, the Dodgers, with all these moves and all that money, the owner and Magic Johnson are swinging around. They're not even, you know, it's like the Giants have locked up the West at 80 wins. The Dodgers at 6 games back, they're not gonna do anything in the West. And the wild card, yeah, they got a shot. I mean, they're right there with the Cardinals.
They got a shot.
But
they're a game behind the Cardinals. So it basically comes down to St. Louis and
momentum.
And the Dodgers. I think Pittsburgh, unfortunately, is going to come up a little bit short this year.
It'd be great to see the Pirates, baby. We've talked about it before. It'll be freaking awesome over there in Pittsburgh, eh? Well, yo, what's the sandwich over there in Pittsburgh you were telling me about? You out there?
Oh,
they had Primanti the
Brothers.
Sandwiches.
Shout out to Primanti Brothers. So if anybody's in Pittsburgh and goes to Heinz Field or PNC Park, if you don't know, go to Primanti Brothers. They give these hot sandwiches, and they put fries inside the sandwich. So you figure you're eating it anyway. And it's a nice, greasy sandwich, and it's grilled up nice and hot. So let's say you get a roast beef sandwich or something like that on a hot little bun, and then you put the fries in the sandwich, and then you squeeze the bun, and you get your meat and potato on. Unless you
You're making me hungry, man. It's almost dinner time out here on the West Coast,
man.
Don't talk to me about
the Primanti Brothers. And then you could go to the O's and get some big old fries. Yeah.
Hey, listen, man, I'm on the verge of hopping on the plane, going to StubHub, and go see the Jets in Pittsburgh this Sunday, man. I'm dying to go see my Steelers. I never made it to Three Rivers, and Tyler and I love going to different stadiums and love to, you know, see different arenas, whether it's baseball, football, basketball. But I would love to go and see the Steelers at Heinz Field, man.
You didn't miss anything. I said Three Rivers was a dump, so you didn't miss anything. It's one of those.
I know,
fields.
But watch your mouth. Watch your mouth. It's just it's sentimental, man. It's sentimental.
I mean, especially compared to these new stadiums, PNC Park and Heinz Field. Oh, by the way, can we get on the Oakland Raiders and the Oakland A's for sharing that stadium in a
day and age
when every team has their own stadium? We really
they
have
need to grow up and be men.
And get a
get
real
your own
stadium.
Park.
For each
well, you
of
know
them.
What it is? It's Oakland and the city and the infrastructure, and I think they're trying to do something where maybe, like MetLife with the Jets and Giants, that they do something for the Niners and Raiders together, which makes sense, in Santa Clara or, you know, some suburb out there between Oakland and San Francisco.
Yeah, that's
or
south.
You know.
They need to because, seriously, there's so much money out there in the Bay Area they can afford to build a couple of stadiums. I mean, it's horrible to see the dirt kicking up. And the long snapper for the Raiders, now granted he was filling in, but he's snapping on dirt. I mean, this is the NFL. These teams average $1 billion, and you still have a dirt cutout inside of a football field. I mean, really, this is 2012.
Nah,
these are professional athletes. These are billion-dollar franchises. This shouldn't happen.
Well, listen, let's just take another quick little break, and we'll be back. You know, if you guys want to call, it's 718-664-9098, and we're going to get into the big time. Thursday night football, the NFL Network, baby. Ooh, ooh, Bears at Packers. Ooh, I'm feeling it. I'm hyped.
Black and blue division.
The NFC North. All right, we'll be right back. Kill it. Yeah, man. Ray and Tay today are back. You know what I'm saying? Feeling the little hip-hop flavor, man. Listen, we still didn't even get into it. We're going to have to really break it down. But, yo, there were some dope albums this summer for you hip-hop heads. Nas's album, Life is Good. You know, cats who are down with Eminem and Shady Records. The Slaughterhouse Crew with Royce the 5'9", Crooked Eye, Joe Budden, and Joel Ortiz, you know, some underground hip-hop legends. We had, Late Spring was Common, Rick Ross, Ricky Rosé. Yeah, how's a grown man going to call himself Rosé, T? Ricky Rosé. What you know about Rick Ross, player, from Florida? But, there were some good hip-hop albums this summer. Your boy, yours truly. You know what I'm saying? Eric Taylor had a nice little album, True Speaker, E-Complete. You know the album True Speaker. Go check it on iTunes, Napster, everywhere, whatever, all that good stuff. But, you know.
Before we go, before we get into the preview, I think we got a caller wants to give us a shout-out, especially the E-Complete. So let me put him on the air.
Cool.
All right, caller, you're on the air.
Yo.
What's up, you man? You're on Ray and Tate today. What's going on?
You know what it says, you know what I'm saying? Let me introduce myself for a sports fan, you know what I'm saying? I go by the name of Crazy Killer, represent from New Jersey, I'm straight up and down.
Make sure you keep it clean, man. We're talking sports, and we're about to get into Thursday night football with the Bears and Packers, man. You know?
No, right back, straight up and down. You know what I'm saying? I just came to support my man, E-Complete, of course, you know what I'm saying?
Good looking out, man.
Thank you for playing that mix, man. That's a good look.
Yeah,
right,
man. That's DJ Crazy Killer, for those that don't know, who threw up some of the mixes and does some mixes for E-Complete. You know what I'm saying? Check him out on YouTube. All right, Crazy Killer's no joke, man.
Yeah,
so what was your favorite album of the summer?
We'll
ask you real quick before we get into the football.
Say that again?
What was your favorite hip-hop album of the summer, man?
The previous summer, like last year and stuff like that.
This summer, like just 2 months ago,
right.
July, August, man. You don't know the summer?
I would have to say that the two albums that I really like so far, you know what I'm saying, is my man 2 Chainz, you know what I'm saying, based on the true story, and none but the one and only DJ Khaled, you know what I'm saying, Kiss the Ring.
Oh, yeah, DJ Khaled, that's a good album, yeah.
So, you know, So
thanks for calling, man. Definitely give us a good shot. Keep listening to Ray and Tate today. And, yo, man, like us on Facebook. You know, follow us on Twitter. And if you got any suggestions for the show or whatever, just hit us up at rayandtatetoday@gmail.com. All right? Good looking, Ed. Crazy Killer.
Peace,
man. Appreciate the love.
Peace.
So, yeah, man, see a little hip-hop flavor. Yo, we keep it versatile for you, man. And, listen, we keep it grimy, just like Thursday night football, the Bears at the Packers. T, take it away. What's your first impressions of, first of all, Thursday night football normally used to start around Thanksgiving or week 16 or 17. So we're all as football fans ecstatic that NFL Network has stepped up and, you know, they've been starting it early the last 2 or 3 years.
I have to say, this is my public service announcement for the week.
Come on, break it down. Your pain, let us feel your pain.
Okay, feel my pain. Time Warner Cable, please get a deal with the NFL Network already. This is ridiculous. When the NFL Network only had 8 games and they were bad games and they were the second half of the season, I still was interested in watching the games, but I couldn't. So if you're in a Time Warner Cable market and potentially in a building that doesn't have Verizon files or have RCN or somebody else, you're stuck with Time Warner Cable.
Or anything else.
And Time Warner Cable doesn't have a deal with the NFL Network. So if you're in Time Warner's country, you can't see these games. And now
DirecTV, baby.
You can't. If you live in a building that doesn't let you have a satellite, a dish.
Hey, this is, ladies
you
and gentlemen,
this.
This is why New York is not what it should be, man. It's sad. But listen, we ran out of time, so let's break down week 2, Thursday Night Football. Bears, Packers, what are your first impressions?
My first impression is, I didn't think I'd be saying this in week 2, but the Green Bay Packers need to win this game. I mean, if these guys consider themselves to be elite and one of the best teams, which I think they're going to win the Super Bowl, I think they're going to win the NFC, beat the Niners. Now it looks like that game will be at Candlestick. And then eventually meet the Texans and beat
the
Texans.
Wait, it's early on. Don't concede that.
Okay,
yet.
All right. But I'm saying no reason to panic for a team that 2 years ago won the Super Bowl. But they have major question marks on defense and running the ball. So they need to show something tomorrow, I should say. These guys have all the talent that you could wish for on offense, but they need to do something in the running game, and they need to show a little bit more on defense because – you know, this is a tough division, you know, playing Detroit twice, playing even Minnesota twice, and then obviously Chicago twice. This is a tough division. This is a tough test. And if you lose twice at home and get punched in the mouth 2 weeks in a row, people are going to be coming for you. People
and it's a division game at home. You can't lose a division game at home.
Not if you want to win the division, and not if you want to get a decent seed in the playoffs.
Well, let's
so
break it down for the audience real quick, T. It looks like Greg Jennings, with his concussion issues, he's doubtful for this game. So he might not be playing. So people need to follow that and maybe take them out of your lineups for fantasy football heads. But for just the NFL game, they're going to have to really rely on Finley, Nelson, Randall Cobb, and maybe, you know, James Jones. But
Jones.
Do they dig up Donald Driver? Does Driver get to play this week?
Maybe he gets to dance a little bit on the field. Maybe he gets to show those moves, those dancing
with
the
stars.
Yeah,
dancing
with
the stars, man, you know. Yo, and I can't front. I'm excited to see The Voice tonight, man. My man Simon be doing it up, you know, and Britney Spears, who I won't even comment, but she's on the show. It should be funny to watch The Voice tonight. I'm going to check that out. But, yo, it's crazy. I mean, not The Voice, X Factor. I was watching The Voice last night, which is dope. It was The Voice was dope, you know. But I think the Packers, I think they're actually going to lose. I'm telling you, Jay Cutler, not because he's my fantasy quarterback, but Jay Cutler to me looks like he's back in the groove with having some real receivers like Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, Earl Bennett, his old roommate. Johnny Knox is hurt, but he's still got Devin Hester. They got some talent there, T, and two good running backs now, Forte and Bush.
They are talented, and Bush scored those two touchdowns. So for all those Forte fantasy owners, your worst nightmare is that Michael Bush is going to score 15 touchdowns that should have gone to
yeah,
your
I might
man,
need to
Matt
start
Forte.
Michael Bush this week.
Shout
I got
out
him on
to
my bench.
Tulane and Louisville. We got the two running backs from Tulane and Louisville in the house.
Hey, I'll tell people in a minute, if you got a flex, if you have a flex option, use Bush as your flex. He's a good play. Definitely a good play. But listen, what about this Packers defense, man?
They
drafted,
the
like, the first four or five cats were defense. What's going on? Where's Nick Perry? You know, where's Jarrell Worthy? Where are these cats? Where's this improved defense with the Packers?
I don't
know.
Do
you feel
it? I don't
know.
And the slide over to safety for our boy Woodson. You know, I think it's a matter of time. Maybe I'm the optimist and the glass is half full for me, and I got the cheese head on my head or something, but I think Green Bay will be okay. I think they'll come out. I think San Francisco is an exceptionally well-oiled machine on defense, especially. They're
right.
Disciplined, and I think they'll be fine. I think they'll take care of business against Chicago. I think they'll show some weaknesses in Chicago's defense, and I think that ultimately that because your boy Aaron Rodgers spreads it around so much, the loss of any single player, I don't think, even if Greg Jennings is down, I don't think that that's going to kill them. I think he's got enough versatility on offense. He's got enough people to catch the ball that I think Aaron Rodgers, I think they can still put up 31 even on a good Chicago Bears defense.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that they need to run the ball? So Rodgers is not just back there getting smacked up and pressured. I mean, because Cedric Benson, he's going to have to step up, and I think, honestly, he needs 15 to 18 carries, T, to keep the Bears balanced and, you know, to keep them from causing turnovers and Peppers
I
and
like
Urlacher
and
these cats.
Starks. I think that's not a bad, and Kuhn, that's not a bad little, you know, complimentary
right.
running
Starks,
game.
I don't think Starks is going to be healthy yet for this game. I'm not
no,
sure.
No, I know,
that.
But in the long run, I'm saying.
In the long run, yeah.
I think they'll have enough of a balance. Again, it's a passing league, and Rodgers, you know, with no balance and no defense, that team went 15-1. And if it weren't for the Giants, which is just a terrible matchup for them, smacking them in the mouth, they could have gone right to the Super Bowl. So I think they'll be okay. I don't see them going 0-2. I see them holding their ground, holding their turf, and defending home turf and winning 31. I see them winning 31-20, maybe 31-23.
Packers, 31-23?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, I'm going to give my pick real quick, but I want everybody to go who's, you know, in our league, go to ESPN, do the Pigskin Pick'em, and, you know, you go to create or join a group, and join our group, which is Ray and Tay Today. We got about 14, 15 people in there now. Like I said, my mom, Cheryl Taylor, came in first. She came in first place after week one, and my 3-year-old son, who then they both made their own picks, William Truth Taylor, came in second place. So So how you like that? But, you know, make your picks against Ray and Tate today. And, you know, the show's about to end, so catch us Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back, obviously, previewing Sunday's games, getting into some other things and, you know, fantasy and all that good stuff. And for me, I think the Bears win 28-27 in some late heroics. Jay Cutler drives down, and they take the lead and win on a late scoring touchdown. So, man, we had another good show, you know, Ray and Tate today. Just keeping it moving, have the callers involved, a lot of people listening. We feel the love. So just keep checking us out at blogtalkradio.com, man, and check out the Ray and Tate Today show.
See you next time. See you on Friday. We're looking at 7 to 8 p.m. on Friday.
Yeah, man. 4 o'clock for the West Side. We out. Ray and Tate Today. Let's go, Yankees. Win one tonight.
Yeah, we need it.
Woo! Good Lord, good Lord. Yeah, man. It's incomplete. New Year, a.k.a. Big E, a.k.a. East Rapper Dapper. Either way, I'm still a popular motherfucker since I was 11. Yeah! Like this. It hurts. It's incomplete, I just face the flow. Don't you understand? I'm curious and real with the flow. The niggas need to know.